Good morning. Oh, most of you know my name. That's great. I'm Steve. I'm from Church at the Peak, but it's great to be here with you guys. I was here last night. My voice is playing up a little bit because I was here last night with Caleb, my son, who had the concert. And it's my great privilege to open God's Word with you this morning. Let's pray, and then I've got a song that we're going to try to play through the thing for you. So let's pray first. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you love us. We thank you that we can be here today. Help us to put aside the cares and worries of this week. Help us to focus our hearts and minds on you. And speak to us, Lord, through your word. Help us to understand what you're saying and help us to put it into practice in our lives. In your son's name we pray. Amen. So we're going to play a song and here it comes. I'll let it go.
It's about as useless as a screen door on a submarine. Fade without words, baby. It just ain't happening.
One is your left, one is your right. It'll take
two strong arms to hold on tight.
Some folks are cut off the nose just to spite their face. I think you need some words to show for your alleged faith. Well, there's a difference, you know, between having faith and playing make-believe. One will make you grow, the other one just make you sleep.
Talk about it,
but I really think you ought to take a leap
off of the ship
before you claim to walk on water. Faith without words, like a song you can't sing.
It's about as useless as a screen door on a submarine.
Faith comes from God, from every word that he breathes. He lets you take it to your heart so you can give it hands and feet. It's gotta be active if it's gonna be alive. You gotta put it into practice.
Otherwise,
it's about as useless as a screen door on a submarine.
Faith without works, baby. It just ain't happening.
One is your right, one is your left. It's your light, your guide, your life and your breath.
The faith without words,
it's like a song you can't sing.
It's about as useless as a screen door on a submarine.
Faith without words,
like a song you can't sing. It's about as useless as a screen door on a submarine.
It's a fun song. It's by a Christian musician called Rich Mullins, who's passed away, but he wrote wonderful Christian music. And he obviously had this part of James in mind when he wrote the song. And it's a bit of it's a fun song, but it makes a strong claim. It basically says, he says, faith without works is like a song you can't sing. It's about as useless as a screen door on a submarine. And at first, you might go, yeah, well, yeah, that kind of sounds right. But then later you think, well, hang on a minute, that doesn't seem to fit with other parts of the Bible. In fact, it sounds downright heretical. And then, see, if you look at passages like Ephesians 2, 8 to 9, this is Paul writing, Paul says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." So we've got this seeming disconnect here between what Paul says in Ephesians and what James says in the book of James. And it kind of sounds like James is saying that faith isn't enough to save us. In other words, that Jesus' death on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins and our acceptance of him as our Lord and Saviour is not enough to save us. That we need to do good works as well as believe in Jesus in order to be saved. And so that's why some people have struggled with the book of James. A lot of people think, oh, this is great, it's just practical wisdom. But when you get to this passage, Martin Luther, the great reformer, basically said, oh, this is, he called it a right screwy epistle or an epistle of straw. And when he was translating the Bible into German for the people, because of course it was only the Catholic Church had it in Latin, so nobody in Germany could read it, he translated it into German and he put the book of James after the book of Revelation. Right at the end. because he couldn't work out what was going on because it sounds so different, this passage in particular. And so that's the issue we've got today. And so we're going to look at this passage and see what James is saying and see if it is different to the rest of the Bible. Now, remember the context of James. James is Jesus's brother, or one of his brothers, and he's speaking to Jewish Christians who are scattered throughout the known world at the time. And in chapter 1, as you read James, in chapter 1, James kind of outlines all the different topics that he's going to talk about. And then in chapters 2 to 5, he kind of goes through and outlines each one of those in much more detail. And so that's where we are. We're halfway through chapter 2, and he's already spoken about faith and works in chapter 1, but now he's going to really get stuck into it. So if you've got your Bibles open there, we're going to look at this passage together. So faith without works is dead is in the first few verses. Verse 14, James says, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them?" Now we need to get our definitions right here. Faith is the trust in God and in Jesus that they will save us. Through what Jesus has done on the cross, it's our trust in him. That's what faith is. It's putting your trust in Jesus and God to save you. Now, deeds, another word for that is works or actions, are the things that we do in response to our trust or because we trust in God and Jesus. And so James asks a rhetorical question, and the expected answer there is no good and no, meaning that faith without works is no good, and that kind of faith cannot save you. And he explains why in the next couple of verses, verse 15. Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep well, warm and well fed," but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? You see, he's using this example to back up his point. Wishing someone well but not doing anything about their needs is useless. And also, it shows that you weren't sincere in what you were saying. You can't say to someone without food and clothes, "Go in peace, keep warm and well fed," and actually mean that, and then not go and do anything about it. It shows that your words were empty, that you didn't really mean them. So in verse 17, he says, "In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." In the same way, saying something and not meaning it, not doing anything about it. If you claim to have faith, but you have no actions coming from that faith, then it's as useless as wishing someone well, keep warm and well fed, and then not doing anything about it. You see, actions mean or show that we mean our words. And remember that our words here are that we are claiming to have faith in or trust in God and Jesus to save us. So if we say that we trust in God and Jesus to save us, but we refuse to put that trust into action, then we really don't mean what we're saying. Our faith is not real. Let me give you an illustration. You may have heard this one before, but an illustration of where faith wasn't really real. There's a guy that I've heard of, lived a long time ago. His name was Charles Blondin, and he was a tightrope walker. And in 1859, he set up a tightrope, and he stretched it 400 metres over Niagara Falls. And if you know Niagara Falls, it's on the border between the US and Canada. And it's one of the biggest falls in the world. And he set it up to go the entire span across Niagara Falls, and he was about 50 metres above the water. And then he walked backwards and forwards between the US and Canada and back again. And so there's huge crowds are watching him on both sides, in the US side and the Canadian side. And they're looking on with shock and awe. Once he crossed in a sack somehow. Another time he was on stilts on the tightrope. Another time he rode a bicycle across it. And one time he even carried a stove and cooked an omelette on the tightrope. Now, like, the crowds are just in awe of this man. And it says that on one day he walked backwards across the tightrope from the US to Canada and returned pushing a wheelbarrow across the tightrope. And it was then that he asked for some audience participation. He asked the audience, he said, "Do you believe that I can carry a person across in this wheelbarrow?" And of course the crowd says, "Yes, of course you can." He said, "So who's going to hop in?" and nobody would. Now, I kind of don't blame them. It's a bit of a silly illustration, but you get the point, don't you? They said that they believed. They said that they trusted that he could do what he said. Yet they refused to put that trust into action. And it's the same with Christianity. If you say you trust in God and Jesus, then you need to prove it by your actions. Now, we'll talk about what those actions look like later on. But the main point here is, if you don't, if you won't put your faith into action, then your words are empty. You don't really believe. Now, let me be clear. It's not your actions that save you. God and Jesus do that. But your actions prove that you have placed your trust in Jesus to save you. And that's what James is talking about. And he goes on in verses 18 and 19 to talk about that you can't separate faith and works. You see it there in verse 18. He says, but someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. And James will say, well, show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by your deeds. And seemingly what's going on here is someone's trying to separate faith and works, saying that perhaps faith is a special gift from God and works are another special gift from God. And so we shouldn't say that all Christians have to have both. But James, however, wants to point out that all Christians have faith and works. They're not special gifts from God, but they're just part of the normal Christian life. And furthermore, you can't prove that you have faith apart from doing good works. In the second half of verse 18 there. Again, he's really focusing on the idea that saying you have faith in Jesus is not enough. You have to show it by the way that you live. If you say, I trust in Jesus, and then that trust does not change your life, then James will want to question whether you really trust in Jesus or not. And then I think James starts to show just how cranky he is with his audience. Verse 19, he says, you believe that there's one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. That's fairly strong language. What he's saying is, look, there are some people or some beings who do believe in God, but it doesn't lead to actions. It doesn't lead to saving faith. It's possible to believe in God and Jesus and not be saved, but that's a belief that God exists versus a belief that leads to a trust in Jesus to pay the penalty for your sins and a willingness to make him the Lord of your life. Saving faith leads to deeds. The two are inseparable. It's like if a friend of yours came to you and said, I've joined a soccer team, maybe just a local team, maybe Forest Rangers is up on Gannon's Park, and they said, I'm going to be playing soccer. I'm a soccer player. I've joined Forest Rangers. And so they show you, they've got all the gear. They've got the jersey, the shorts, the socks, the boots. They've paid their registration. And they say, look, I'm now part of Forest Rangers. I'm going to play soccer. Yet they never go to training. They never meet with the other players. They never talk through with the coach about what position they're going to play. And then they never turn up to the games. Are they really a soccer player? Well, they look the part, they say that they are, but their actions don't back up their words. You can't be a soccer player if you never play soccer. Equally, you can't be a Christian, someone who has faith in God and Jesus to save them, if you never act on that faith, if you don't live it out in your day-to-day life. You can say that you're a Christian, but you're really just pretending, just trying to fool people, maybe trying to fool yourself. But the thing is, you can't fool God. Paul says the same thing in Galatians chapter 6, and I've got it up there on the screen. He says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. You see, God knows whether we really trust in him or not. And if we do trust in him and in Jesus, then we will act on it. We will do good. And so James keeps on going and comes to the end of his conversation about faith and works by doing evidence, showing evidence that faith without works is useless. And you see there in verse 20 where, again, the language is quite strong, isn't it? He says, "You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless?" Obviously, there were some people that he's writing to who were living one, saying that they were Christians, but just not living it out at all. And he's trying to convince them that that's not the right way to live. And he uses the example of Abraham. Now, if you don't know who Abraham is the one that God promised to raise a whole nation through him, right back in the book of Genesis. And so he is called Father Abraham. He's the father of the nation of Israel. From Abraham, God created the entire nation of Israel. And God promised that to him. And so James is using that as evidence. And he says it there in verse 21. "Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend." So let's have a look, a quick look at those promises that God made to Abraham. You see there, it's in Genesis chapter 15, verse 4. Says, "Then the word of the Lord came to him," that's Abraham, although his name was Abram at this time. And he says, God saying to Abram, "This man will not be your heir," he's talking about one of his servants, "but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir." He took him outside and said, "Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them." Then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." And Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. You see, God said that he was going to give Abraham as many descendants as there are stars in the night sky. And Abraham believes God. He has faith in God. He trusts God. And God credits it to him as righteousness. And Abraham later shows his belief by his actions, because he does have a son called Isaac. And then later, a little bit later in Genesis, God asks Abraham to sacrifice Isaac on an altar. And then this is what happens at that point. Genesis chapter 2, verse 9. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Now I know you fear God." Abraham proved his faith by his actions. His actions didn't save him. God had already saved him. But Abraham showed that he truly believed, he truly trusted, he truly had faith in God by his actions. And James says that this action fulfills the claim that Abraham believed God. His faith and his actions were working together. His actions prove that he believed. And so back to our passage, verse 24. "A person is considered righteous by what they do, and not by their faith alone. Because what they do proves what they believe. If they say they have faith, trust in God and Jesus, but are unwilling to do anything about it, then they really don't trust God at all." Again, it's not their works that save them, but their works show that their trust in God and Jesus is genuine. And it's a real trust in God and Jesus that saves someone, not a pretend one. And then James finishes his passage with the example of Rahab. And if you don't know who Rahab was, Rahab is a little bit later in the Bible than Abraham. When God's people were told to go into the promised land, they sent spies into the promised land to check it out, to see if they would be able to take it over. And Rahab, heard about the spies and found out about God and put her trust in the God of the Israelites, even though she didn't know a lot about him. And so when the spies turned up, she hid them so that they were able to get back to Israel safely, or to the other Israelites safely. Verse 25, in the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? Was not even Rahab. In other words, James is saying it doesn't matter who you are, whether you are the father of the Israelite nation, Abraham, or you're a prostitute from a foreign nation, or you're anyone in between, you are saved by your genuine trust in God and Jesus, which shows itself in your actions. So verse 26, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. It's not real faith. You're just pretending. So what have we learnt from our passage? If we want to sum it up, we want to say that faith without works is dead. Faith that doesn't lead to works is not real faith. And the proof that you have faith is in your works. And so what should we do in response to what we've learned? Well, the first thing obviously to do is to have faith. Now, James isn't saying that faith doesn't matter or that we're saved by our works. He's saying that we need to have a genuine faith, a faith that naturally and automatically leads to actions. And so there's no disagreement or contradiction between James and the rest of the Bible. The whole Bible will say that you are only saved by a genuine faith, a genuine trust in God and Jesus, which will obviously lead to actions. So, if you're here today and you're not sure whether you have a genuine faith in God and Jesus, then please come and talk to me after the service and I'll help you to work that out. Because it's a genuine faith, in genuine trust in God and Jesus and what they've done for you that saves you. And then the second part of the application is to put your faith into action. Don't just say that you believe, do something about it. And what do you do about it? Well, the rest of James will give you some of those answers. He'll say, well, watch how you speak. Care for the poor and needy. Keep yourself from being polluted by the world. Don't show favoritism. And you can read other parts of the New Testament and they'll expand on that and tell you other ways that you can serve God and show that you believe in him. But Jesus, I think, summed it up best for us all. He said, how is it that you are to live as a Christian? How are you to live as someone who genuinely trusts in God and Jesus to save you? He said, well, there's only two things you have to do. You need to love God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength. And you need to love your neighbor as yourself. If you trust in God and Jesus to save you, the right response to that is to love them and to do what they want you to do. Spend time reading your Bible and praying, getting to know God and Jesus better. Spend time working out how you can love your brother and sister Christian, how you can love your neighbours, your workmates, your friends. Spend time putting your faith into action. So if you really trust in God and Jesus to save you, if you trust in them, then you'll also trust in them when they tell you how to live the Christian life. A genuine faith in God and Jesus will inevitably lead to a life of love and obedience to God and Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us. We thank you that you sent Jesus to die and rise again so our sins could be forgiven, and we could come into a right relationship with you. Help us to have a genuine faith in you, a faith that really trusts in what Jesus has done for us. And help that genuine faith to show itself in our actions, to each day, to live for you and to do the things that you want us to do. In Jesus' name we pray.